If you can believe it, this one's an oldie but goodie. Friday Night History 65, Season 2, Episode 32. The Introduction of Coffee. So before Friday Night History was a podcast, it was a Twitter thread extravaganza that usually happened while I was enjoying a single, carefully chosen beverage, usually a bottle of cider, or a few shots of sake. That became a phenomenon, which became a podcast, and well, now here we are nearly at the end of Season 2. So I recently ran a Patreon poll, patreon.com/riversidewings, by the way, and chose a set of the old threads to turn into revamped podcasts, and that's what we're going to get into here, bridging Seasons 2 and 3, and which are going to go in order of what got the most votes on the poll. Sound good? Good. So coffee isn't indigenous to Japan, or anywhere else in East Asia for that matter. Japan has been familiar with caffeine for over 1,000 years, and tea has grown there since at least the Heian era, but coffee, not so much. It wasn't until the Edo period, when Dutch traders started bringing it north to Japan from their colony in Indonesia, that Japan was introduced to the drink. But that doesn't mean that that's when your average Japanese person got access to the drink. And that has partly to do with how much of it entered Japan at a time, and the way in which it entered Japan, but to talk about that, we need to back up and give a little bit of context. So it's well known that the only Europeans who legally traded with Japan at the time were the Dutch, and they did that through the Dutch East India Company trading post at Dejima in Nagasaki Harbor. The diplomatic relations that made this possible weren't on the presumption of equal standing. Rather, it involved Holland sending the director of the Dejima trading post up to Edo once a year. There, he would appear before the shogun and keep up the pretense that Holland was a vassal to the shogun. Reiner Hesselink's book Prisoners from Nambu gives a glimpse of this in his analysis of the 1643 incident, where part of the deal for the repatriation of a shipwrecked Dutch crew was the Dutch outpost leaders heading up a trip to Edo that would show the shogun's supposed authority over not just Japan, but the lands beyond. The Dutch didn't like doing this, mind you, but they did it in return for permission to keep trading, and for various goods and gifts from the shogun, and, let's be real, probably a little bit of bragging rights. This is how Imperial China also did diplomacy, by the way, which is why Japan and China didn't have a diplomatic relations for ages and ages. It's called the tribute trade system. But anyway, the Dutch would bring presents as tribute to the shogun as part of that trip up. Exotic animals, spices, books, artillery, and yes, also coffee. Thus, the earliest a Japanese person would likely have tried coffee is around 1706, and it first appears in a written source circa 1724. For about a century, there were only a handful of Japanese people, usually Japanese interpreters who translated for the Dutch, who got to sample it. Several European books were also translated during that century that referenced coffee. Last week we learned that in 1803, Hirokawa Kai, a Dutch-style doctor, first commented on coffee's medicinal benefits with edema. And as coffee slowly spread to a steadily wider range of people, usually scholars in shogunate service, it began to captivate the curiosity and the imagination. And so enter a young scientist and physician from Edo named Udagawa Yoan, 1798-1846. He was born into a family of doctors in service to the Lord of Ogaki Domain, but was adopted by his birth father's teacher, who served the Lord of Tsuyama Domain in Mimasaka Province, modern Okayama Prefecture. And at the time, doctors were some of the leading figures in general foreign studies that ranged well beyond medicine, what was broadly called rangaku, Dutch studies. Yoan was prolific and responsible for the coining of a very wide range of Japanese vocabulary in the sciences. Words like sanso, oxygen, or howa, saturation, are his doing. He also built things like a Volta battery, and had at least a passing knowledge of a number of European languages, ranging from Dutch to Greek. To quote Grant Cohn Goodman in Japan, The Dutch Experience, quote, "In fact, Yoan seems to have wished to introduce all of Western natural science into Japan. It was Yoan, for example, who first introduced entomology in his Konshu Tsuron, Treatise on Entomology, 1828, again based on an entry in Shomel. Also among Yoan's manuscripts have been discovered drafts of writings on spas, coffee, Epsom salts, various Western herbs, mathematics, linguistics. Yoan dabbled in English, Russian, Latin, and Greek, and Western music and painting, unquote. You get the picture. A true Renaissance man, or rather, mid to late Edo man. Around 1814, Yoan and his adoptive father were in Edo when the director of the Dutch trading post was on his tribute visit there, and they got to try coffee. This would have been Hendrik Duff, who held the office 1803 to 1817. Longtime listeners might remember Duff from several episodes, including Friday Night History 11, the Phaeton Incident, as he was head of the Dutch mission when British naval officer and noted mutiny-inciting asshole Fleetwood Broughton Reynolds Pellew aboard the HMS Phaeton barreled into Nagasaki Harbor and brought the Napoleonic Wars to Japan. But Duff also had coffee, so that was good, right? And something about this stuff sparked an interest in Yoan, who read and compiled everything he could find about coffee, including designs for coffee pots, and in 1816, at just 19 years old, wrote the first Japanese essay on coffee, Kohi Isetsu, significantly relying on the Huishoudelijk Woordenboek, a Dutch translation of a French encyclopedic dictionary. Yoan wrote about coffee, coffee preparation, and the benefits of coffee. Originally titled Dictionnaire économique, it was the work of French agronomist Noël Chaumel, 1633 to 1712, whose translation into Japanese from Dutch happened by order of the Shogun Ienari in 1811. So when Yoan used it, it was a very new book in Japan, even though it was first published in 1709 in the French city of Lyon. Yoan wasn't the first to write about coffee in Japanese, but he was one of the most influential because while he spelled coffee as he did in Kohi Isetsu in this original treatise, the current kanji spelling of coffee is also usually ascribed to him. It stuck, and when coffee isn't being rendered in katakana syllables, it's still used in Japanese to this day. Uragawa was also the first to experiment with mead production in Japan and figured out how to write that in kanji, but that's another story for another time. Coffee use grew in Japan after that. As we learned last week, the shogunate issued coffee to the Northern Domain's troops deployed to the coasts of Hokkaido for defense against the Russian Empire. The shogunate's view was that the coffee was a prophylactic against edema. Coffee also appeared in more and more of official shogunate functions involving foreign dignitaries and was even served by 15th and last Tokugawa shogun Yoshinobu when he hosted foreign ambassadors at Osaka Castle shortly after his ascension to the office of shogun. It wasn't until the Meiji era, though, that coffee spread to the population at large, and coffee houses started to appear. Incidentally, the oldest coffee house still extant today in Tokyo is Cafe Paulista, which dates to 1911, and over its history has hosted no less than Albert Einstein, Akutagawa Ryunosuke, and John Lennon. For context, Tokugawa Yoshinobu died in 1913. One suspects that Uragawa Yoan and Hirokawa Kai would have been pleased to see the foreign drink whose benefits they touted now so widely enjoyed. And with that, I will see you next week. I'm Nairi, and this has been Friday Night History. Now, questions? Friday Night History is a historical romp with me, your favorite history dyke, Dr. Nairi A. Bakalian. Our theme is Ohayashi from Paratune, licensed under CC 4.0. Support this podcast and the rest of my work at patreon.com/riversidewings. Thank you, and remember, who you are and what lights your fire is worth fighting for. I'll see you around.